the guys this week that shown you that they were able to enjoy, celebrate, and then immediately get back into. You
know, yeah, it's where we're at this time of year. You know, new season, and you can't linger too long on what's going on in the past. You can't really think about what's going on during the season or reflect or anything like that. So it's all hands on deck to find a way to win. And I think our veteran leadership's done a great job of navigating the ship.
We're back live with more Rami McLaugh on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I got another 90 minutes with you. Oh, this is good music. This is good music for a divisional round game, buddy. I am so fired up for this football game today. Let's go. Can they kick it off sooner? Can they kick? Because I'm going to have a heart attack. Like the Bears already give me a heart attack in every game that they play because they feel a need to wait till the final drive to win it. But I am so – like my – I have a low resting heart rate in general, just in case anybody's – so I'm like up to 80 right now, which is not that high for most people. But I'm usually like in the 50s. I'm like up in the 80s right now. Also, I have high cholesterol, so this is all not good for me. The sooner they can start this game, the better it'll be for me and my health and ensuring the chances that I survive this Sunday and get to see the NFC Championship next week should the Bears advance, which I think they will. If you didn't catch the first hour, just a Cribs Notes version of it, the Rams present a lot of problems. A lot of the things they do well, the Bears don't counter very well. They're good at the deep strike. They're good at the run game. The Bears give up a lot of deep shots. The Bears give up a lot of yards in the run game. I think, though, that the Bears can, and I'm saying will, win this football game today by running the ball effectively, by using the cold to their advantage, and I think the cold is an advantage, by getting a turnover or two, and the Rams, when they do turn the ball over, tend to do it in bunches, and then a special teams play or two also could be the difference in this one. That's how I see them winning. What I think is the toughest potential matchup left in the playoff field this week. Want your thoughts on how they do that? Do you think the Rams are the toughest potential matchup left in the field? Do you have any superstitions? Do you have any thoughts on the possibility, as is being reported, that Joe Tooney will bump out from left guard to left tackle with the injury to Ozzie Trapillo last week? I say just stick with Theo. Don't break up that trio that you have on the interior, which has been probably the most dominant phase or most dominant part of this Bears offense this year has been right there in the middle of that offensive line. I say keep that together and just pun not intended, but it is a pretty good pun. Just ram this thing down their throat, man. Just make them hate how long they have to stay out there on the field in the cold. Make them hate the punishment that they're taking in the cold. Hits hurt more when it's as cold out as it's going to be tonight. And in case you haven't heard, and if you're headed out there, you should be aware of this, it's going to be cold tonight. It's going to be cold. AccuWeather projects a real feel in the evening of minus 23. Matthew Stafford doesn't do well in the cold. Dome teams, just in general, don't do well in the cold. 1-14 on the road when it's below 40 degrees over the last 10 years. So I think that's a real factor, and I think running the ball makes it all that much more a factor if you can keep that defense out on the field and punish them. And for that's part of the reason I say just keep Tooney in there at left guard and stick with Theo at left tackle and just give him some help. Give him some help out there, whether it's an extra offensive lineman or throwing Cole Kmet out there, or Colston Loveland, Smythe, and any one of those guys, and help out Theo Benedict in the pass game, because that does seem to be where he struggles. And Jared Verse can get after quarterbacks. That whole front four for that Rams team can get after quarterbacks. So I understand the temptation or the thought to put Tooney out there, but that's not the route that I would go. This text from the 847. Yes, I believe this is the toughest game so far, but I think the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle is going to be a challenge. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the Seahawks is they have a really good defense. I'll take the Bears offense against any defense. Like they've proven to be one of the best in the league. So it's strength on strength there. I still don't trust Sam Darnold. That's the reason why I say the Rams are the toughest potential matchup left in the field. Sam Darnold barely had to throw the ball in that game yesterday. I think if you put Sam Darnold in a position where he has to win a game for his team, he's going to stumble. I truly believe that. The dude is destined to turn into a pumpkin at some point, just like he did last year for the Minnesota Vikings. This from the 717. I have a Bears shirt I've worn for all our games this year, and I also light a candle right as the game starts. Now we're getting into, like, religious rituals. I love that. I love that. And just one more quick text, and I'll go to the calls from the 847. I was just talking about this, so why not read it? Theo can't pass block verse. It's that simple. Yeah, I get it. I get it. And then another one about Theo from the 847. I like Theo, too, but Tooney at guard, Newman, McFadden might be the healthiest and the reason they'll give a boost. It's one of those things where I understand why they would think about doing it, and I would understand if they did do it, just not the route that I personally would go if it was my decision and not Ben Johnson and the staff. But they see those guys every day. They're in practice every day. So maybe they've seen something in practice that the rest of us are not necessarily privy to that makes them think that would be the way to go. Let's go out to Las Vegas and Chicago John listening on the Odyssey app. How warm is it in Las Vegas right now, Chicago John?
Well, we're kind of cool, guys. We're only at 65 right now.
So oh, poor you.
I'm wearing a sweatshirt. I am wearing a sweatshirt. But here, let me tell you something. I don't believe in superstition. But what I do believe is that lightning strikes twice. And I'm sure you guys all remember what happened 40 years ago this postseason. And I'm sure you know who the Bears played. And they played the L.A. Rams. And you guys all know what happened. And I don't care who the coaches are. I don't care who the quarterbacks are. All I know is it's the Bears against the Rams in Soldier Field with cold weather. And they are predicting snow tonight. And I do believe that Walter Payton and Steve McMichael have got something to do with this game tonight.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. That's another thing. I said in the last segment, I can't get enough of, like, going back and watching clips and highlights and moments and of that game last week and Ben Johnson in the post game with the F the Packers. The other thing I've been watching a lot of this week is, and this is, I generally don't like the internet, and I'm trying to not be there as much as possible these days, but one of the things that the internet is good for, like back in the day, I'd have to catch it at just the right time on the NFL Network or on ESPN of like those old, like the old highlight films and the little vignettes that they put together of like old football stuff. Now with YouTube and Twitter and everything else, like it's you don't even have to ask for it. It's just showing up, you know, without you even looking for it. And that's another thing I can't get enough of is watching these old Bears vignettes and specifically the one about that Rams game a few years ago. That was the one where Ditka made the speech before the game about what did he call the Rams? He said, "We're the Grabowskis." I forgot what he was talking about the Rams and coming from the luxury and the warmth of Los Angeles, and he had a name for them. He said, "We're the Grabowski." Somebody I'm sure will tell me in the text line or call me. Either way, 312-644-6767. But I would love if and Ben Johnson has done stuff like this before. As a matter of fact, one of the first people he talked to when he got the job was Mike Ditka. Like, try and channel a little bit of that, man, of hey, this is our home and we're built for this. We live in this every day. We are ready for this. This is not what they're used to. This is not the world that they live in. You channel that. Embrace that. Embrace what you play in and what they have to come in and adapt to. And I have a text here from the 773 talking about the cold and says, "How many games has Caleb played at minus 23. Well, Caleb played his high school ball in Washington State. Or no, I'm sorry. He played his high school ball in Washington, D.C., not Washington State. And it gets chilly there. They get some winds out there in the nation's capital. And on top of that, man, just practicing in this stuff every day will get you ready for it. And this is science. Like, the human body acclimates to the environment that it's in, and you can't recreate that. You can't recreate what you're going to play in today if you're the Rams playing in Los Angeles or practicing in Los Angeles. They can turn up the AC as high as they want. Like, they're not going to get it to minus 23. The human body acclimates when you go out there every day. I went to Florida a few weeks ago, and I had to re-acclimate to this weather when I came back. Like, it's a real thing. If you have any friends who live in warm weather destinations, ask them to come visit in the winter. And the response will be an emphatic, hell no. Like, they want nothing to do with this, man. I'm telling you, it's real. It's an advantage. And the numbers tell the story. I've given these numbers already a couple of times in the show, and I'm sure you've heard them throughout the week, but it bears repeating. Matthew Stafford's last 10 outdoor games in rain or snow, 1-9, 54.6% completion percentage, 11 interceptions, and dome teams are 1-14 when going on the road and it's below 40 degrees. Those aren't coincidences. That's not a coinkydink that those teams and Matthew Stafford individually are not at their best in that type of weather, man. It's hard. It's hard to play. It makes a lot of things hard. Getting your body warmed up, gripping the football, throwing the football, getting hit hurts more in the cold. Delivering hits hurts more in the cold, and it takes a certain mindset to just sort of block that stuff out and go out there and perform at the level that you're used to performing at. I think the weather is a real factor and a real advantage for the Bears today. I do. And it's the reason why, even though I'm the put a roof on it guy, I started that viral hashtag a few years ago. I don't want them to put a roof on this new stadium, wherever it might be. And I'm not going down that road again, because that hijacked my show on Thursday night. And instead of talking football, I was talking about my football team potentially moving out of the state. And that is not something I want to think about at any time, especially now. I can't wait till years from now when people are talking about the Ben Johnson tree, bear down, Bears win 24-20. That one coming from the 224. And here's a superstition from the 847.
Bears.
My girlfriend and I have a superstition to not go out during the games. They lose when we go out, but win when we stay home. Yeah, stay your ass at home today then. Like, don't go out there. As a matter of fact, in the group chat with me and my buddies, one of them was like, "What's everybody doing for the game this week? Y'all want to get together?" And I was like, "Dude, everyone in this group chat, you do exactly what you did last week for this game. Don't I'm not going out to meet any of y'all to watch the game. Don't any of y'all go out because you didn't go out to watch the game and get together last week. Everybody do exactly what they were doing, where they were doing it when that game was going. If you didn't watch the game last week, don't watch the game this week. Like, whatever it is that you were doing during that Bears game last week, do the same thing today. I like to say I'm not superstitious, but the more I think about it, I am. When the Cubs were down 3-1 in the World Series, Studs, I think you'll appreciate this.
Yeah.
I stopped at a taco truck on my way home from work that night, and I got an order of 3 tacos, took it home, watched the game, and we all know what happened in Game 5. What do you think I did for games 6 and 7?
Oh, you got to go back and get tacos.
I went back to that same taco truck and got the same order of tacos. And guess what? The Cubs won the World Series. They don't know it, but I was basically the World Series MVP for eating tacos. You guys, you see what I'm saying? In my own head, I am the World Series MVP for eating that same order of tacos from that same taco truck 3 nights in a row.
See, now here's my thing when it comes to these superstitions. There's no way to prove that you're wrong.
Exactly.
There's absolutely no way to prove that you eating those tacos isn't the reason the Cubs won the World Series.
Exactly. So yeah, you and your girlfriend stay home, and wherever you were sitting, whatever you were wearing, whatever you were eating, do that. Everybody do that, okay? Here's a text from the 847 messaging on behalf of my son, who says the Bears are down after the first quarter. He turns his jersey backwards for a rally jersey. Love that.
Love that. Keep it up. Let's go back to the phones. 312-644-6767. John is in Kankakee. Now, John is on the score. What do you got on this one, Johnny?
Going. John. Just want to let you know, bear down. Games bear are down. Home. Heard it's going to be really, really cold out there. It does play a factor. And, yeah, the keys of the game, you got to run the ball. Definitely let Caleb Williams pick them apart on third and long. And then on defense, got to get to Stafford. Put him on the ground if he runs it. And then my key matchup on offense, though, is Roma Dunze and Puka Nacua. Because, you know, they were both on the same team back in the day, and they both know each other, and they both want to get back out there for the game. So,
John, appreciate the call. Puka Nacua is so damn good, man.
You know, I've seen something interesting about him, and I don't know how much this will track, especially with the current status of the Bears' defensive back, but the more I look, he's actually really bad against man coverage. If you get a corner that can cover really well in man, he can't get open. I'm just curious if that plays out at all.
Yeah, that could be the case. But he's just so
damn good. I'm not denying that he's great.
Right. Yeah,
but like, if he has a weakness, it's man coverage.
Last week, somebody said he might be the best non-quarterback in the NFL, or at the very least, the best offensive player non-quarterback in the league. And at first, I was taken aback. I was like, what? Get out of here. Shut up. And then the more I thought about it, and the more that they elaborated on why that is and the case for it, I was like, yeah, maybe.
Still give the nod to Christian McCaffrey, but he's close. The top two. It's him and McCaffrey, probably.
Yeah. This from the 708. This is sweet. My 8-year-old granddaughter made me a Bears bracelet while they were losing a game a few weeks ago. I put it on, and they came back to win. So now it's on Sorry, these texts come in chunks, and you have to kind of put it together on the fly. So now I put it on when the Bears fall behind, and it seems to start the comeback. Go Bears, bear down. And then another sweet one. This is my superstition. My 7-year-old daughter found 5 rocks in the yard and painted them Bears colors, and we have to all hold them during the games. They charge up between games in a pencil box. We've been doing this all season. That's Mike in Bloomington, Illinois. I love that.
Hey, look, that's 12 wins, so it's working.
And you're raising those kids upright. One more call before we talk with our guy from the Dan Patrick Show. Paulie Paps is going to be joining me in a second, but Jack in Indiana joins me right now. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got 2 comments to make. One, Bears weather, they're going to give up their advantage if they act all macho and come out there in short sleeve shirts. Ben Johnson ought to tell them to get geared up and get ready. Keep their mind on the game. They're going to blow it if they come out there and freeze their ass off. It's happened before against the 49ers years ago. They kept talking about Bears weather. 49ers got all geared up, warm, came and kicked their butts. So that's the one thing. The other thing is these last 3 Bears regimes have a predilection for making passes to receivers behind the scrimmage line. And 80% of those time, it's like bunting in baseball. You end up with a loss of yards, loss of downs. You do it, and they do it usually 2 times in a row, the same play. Then they end up punting.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, get past the sticks. That's a huge pet peeve of mine. Is routes and passes that fall a yard or two short of first down on third or fourth when you're going for it. Get past those sticks. As far as the sleeves. I mean, hey, man, some guys can pull that off in more ways than one, in the fact that, you know, they're not that cold and they can flex on a mofo. So whatever you're good with, whatever you're comfortable with when you go out there. Now, if you're cold and you're just, you know, going sleeveless to try and pretend you're not, well, that's not going to work out for you. Like, if you're cold, you're cold, and there is no real hiding that. Hey, we're excited to announce our FM debut on 104.3, The Score, coming February 2nd during the Mully and Haw Show. That's right, all Score shows, Cubs and Bulls games on the FM dial, high fidelity all the time, including in downtown Chicago. The Score will still be heard right here on 670 AM, but starting Monday, February 2nd is the debut of 104.3 on FM. The simulcast is presented by the official sports book of the Score, Circa Sports, sports betting the way it should be. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll talk about this one. See if Paul Pabst, producer of the Dan Patrick Show and host of the Tailgate right here on the Score, see if he has any superstitions as he watches this game this afternoon. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, next, right after this, on the pre-game show on Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score.
Packers rivalry extend to all the floors for you or just one?
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And that was the moment that Ben Johnson had had enough of all the Matt LaFleur Packers questions right there. I am Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score on a Sunday afternoon pre-game action, getting you ready for this one and taking you right up to Olin and Manly and Mully with the official pre-game show right here on The Score to get you ready for Bears and Rams in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs from Soldier Field, a frigid Soldier Field this evening. And joining me now on The Score hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, from the Dan Patrick Show. He also hosts the Tailgate Saturday mornings right here on The Score. Pleasure to welcome in Paul Pabst. Paulie, always a pleasure, man. How are you this afternoon?
Rami, I got to tell you, I'm not good. And let me tell you why I'm not good. And
yeah,
even
why
though
not?
The Bears are in the playoffs, this game, I can't wait all day for this game. It's driving me crazy with anxiety. Let me set the scene. It's snowing outside, so I gassed up the snowblower. Now I'm in my garage pretending to clean stuff out, just moving around. And I just went out and bought new windshield wipers for my daughter's car and installed them. And while it's snowing, I'm just anxious, and I can't wait for the game to start. And it's almost like anything.
Anything to pass the time. Yeah, I said I have high cholesterol, Paul. I can't take the suspense, and then I can't take the way that all these Bears games seem to go. Like, they're really – I'm going to have to double up on the cholesterol meds if they keep this up for my own,
yeah,
for my own safe being.
Please save me some, because, you know, it's the same thing. I think what happens is, Rami, is that you start playing the game out in your head. And I know I did it last week with the Packers, and I just said, all right, here's if we get a slow start, if the Bears get a slow start, if the defense doesn't this. I'm doing the same thing. I've just spent 10 minutes in my head going, how do you stop Puka Nacua? Because no one on earth has been able to do it yet, and it drives me absolutely batty. I'm trying to play the game out in my head.
Yeah, well, when you're playing the game out in your head, Paul, what does a Bears win look like in this game?
Well, I think a few things helped the Bears. I mean, obviously home field, obviously the weather. I actually wish the weather were a little bit worse. But I think that sometimes teams can come in overconfident. Like, the best offense, or one of the best offenses at least in the NFL, is the Rams. And they may look at the Bears and say, hey, as long as we avoid the takeaway, we can go up and down the field on these guys. And I think that's what happened with the Packers in that game, especially the first half. And then if you notice the Packers in the second half, when Dennis Allen, whatever adjustments he makes, that's above my head. But whatever adjustments he made, I think there was three straight three and outs. And so hopefully the Rams come in thinking this will be easy on the offensive end, and we just have to outlast the Bears in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Paul, I don't know about you, and talking with Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show, he also hosts a Tailgate every Saturday morning right here on The Score. I don't think the Bears can afford to get off to these slow starts that they've been getting off to. And three of their last four games, they have a combined 3 points. I think if you do that against this Rams team, it's going to be night-night. I don't think you're pulling off what you did last week against the Packers against this Rams team.
I agree in theory that you can't start that way, but I'll never say they can't, because it almost feels like they almost always can.
That is
to some
true,
level,
yeah.
But you're right about Matthew Stafford. I think Matthew Stafford and Jordan Love are really in a different stratosphere as far as like level of quarterback in the second half of a playoff game. Jordan Love seemed like a guy who couldn't really get it done, and I think he's a very good quarterback when in optimal conditions. Matthew Stafford, you saw his finger last week. I mean, that thing was jacked up, and he didn't bat an eye. He went out there and got it done. So I do believe that if it's 14-3 at half Rams, that's striking distance. But if you get more than that, then the Rams, I don't think, will stop. And I don't think they're going to stop putting it on. Now, I don't think it would look anywhere near what the 49ers game is, because the 49ers were depleted against the Seahawks. But I would say that if the Bears can get the running game going in the first quarter and they stick with it, and it seems like we've said this for the past 2 months, get the running game going early, then you can keep that game to, what if it's 14, 13 and a half? Then you're in great shape.
And, Paul, you touched on the weather. I think a lot of people want to poo-poo that or dismiss that as, you know, oh, these guys are football players. They're going to go out there and play football. I think it's a real factor, and I think it's a real advantage for this Bears team. And I think that doing what you just talked about doing, which is come out and run the ball and be physical and sure, try and punish them a little bit, I think that only adds to the advantage that you have in the cold, because hitting hurts in the cold and getting hit
right,
hurts in the cold. And I think getting those road graders out there and moving people around, I think that can take a lot of the steam out of that Rams team and what the weather will be tonight.
Yeah, Rom, I agree. I think all the players are kind of in the same boat. I don't think anyone likes the cold or loves playing the cold, unless you went to like Maine or North Dakota State, and they're in a dome. But the Bears, you know, they have this high sideline heaters. I think where it's going to really affect is the Bears lead the league in takeaways, as everybody knows. I think there's a lot more chance for a takeaway against the Rams because cold weather, or hot passes from Matthew Stafford, you go off some cold fingers, or a running back is, you know, a little bit tight because it's cold. I think it increases the chances for a tipped ball here and there that the Bears usually come up with. So I think that's where the cold will help, and little mistakes that may have not have been mistakes if it were 55 degrees.
I also think the forgotten phase of football, or the phase that's often forgotten in football and in special teams, could play a huge role in this one, Paulie. The Bears have actually been pretty good on the special teams.
And
since I want to say about week 6 or week 7 when they had some problems earlier in the year, this Rams team, kind of a mess. They fired their special teams coordinator midseason.
Yeah, I think they're kind of, and this is gonna, I hope I don't jinx myself here, but non-threatening special teams-wise. And they have a couple good guys. But, like, Duvernay's had enough, I wouldn't say huge plays, but medium plays, where it's like, he had a punt return last week. I think it was 23 yards. It gets so lost in the wash of other big plays in that comeback. But 23 yards, that's an extra first down. That's a first down you don't need. And I think the punt coverage, the kickoff coverage team has been great. We had Josh Blackwell on the defensive back. He was on the tailgate last week. And he says, they're going for the ball, too. They're trying to make something happen and knock the ball out. They knocked one out against the Packers on that kickoff. They didn't recover it, but it's like all hands on deck. Let's get the ball.
Talking with Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show and the Tailgate, which can be heard Saturday mornings right here on The Score. Paul, I said this earlier in the show, and some people might think this is just like lip service or me trying to win over Bears fans or whatnot. The fans played a role in that game last week, and I think could play a role at Soldier Field this week. Like that was a decided home field advantage. Now, the weather, the Packers play in that and practice in that every day, but the noise, Soldier Field was literally shaking last week as that game was going on. You saw two delay of game penalties. You saw some false starts. I think the impact, the effect of the fans on that game last week and potentially tonight is real.
Dude, there's no doubt. I've been going to Soldier Field since I was 9, and it's always been a pretty loud place, a pretty involved place, but it's never been one of those places where you're like, I can't hear myself think. It goes back to, I think it maybe Grady Jarrett or someone, you know, kind of didn't call out the fans. He challenged the fans a little bit in the Monday night game about 4 weeks ago, and that place was rocking. I was watching on TV. Urlacher talked about it. I'd never heard it like that. And last week, it felt like a Tennessee Volunteer or LSU home game. It was just rocking the entire time. And I heard something interesting last night. I was watching the game with the 49ers. The fans should be yelling when they're in the huddle, not when they break the huddle, because the quarterback in his head is getting the signals while they're in the huddle. They're not getting that much when they get to the line of scrimmage. That play has been decided by that point. So it's almost like if the fans really want to make a difference, yell when Stafford's in the huddle with his teammates. And if he's putting his hands up to his helmet, that means he can't hear. And what if that takes 2 extra seconds to get out of the huddle? And that's 2 less seconds to read the defense. And I think it's a real, I wouldn't say advantage, but it's a real effect on the game. There's no doubt it happened last week and against the Packers a few weeks ago.
Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show and the Tailgate, Saturday mornings right here on The Score, my guest for a few more minutes. Did I see on social media that you came to town for the game last week? Did you not, Paulie?
Yeah, I didn't even have a ticket. You know, Danny Parkins, the former Score alum, he and I were texting, and I'm like, you're going in, right? He goes, yeah, I'm going in. I go, do you have a ticket? He goes, no, not yet. I go, me neither. He goes, but you got to go in. I mean, it's a Packers-Bears home playoff game. I mean, I didn't even care. My wife goes, what are you ordering? I'm like, plane tickets? And I go, not like I'm ordering something for my car. And the plane tickets were outrageous. I mean, they were outrageous. I didn't even get a ticket to the game because I wanted to go with my high school buddies to a pub in like Lakeview. And the pub was like being at a game. And I couldn't have been happier that I flew in for it. We went to a pub. We got to the pub at 3 o'clock for the early game. We left the pub at 12:15 a.m.
Oh, man.
I did an 8.5-hour session at Yahtzee's in Wrigleyville. I saw shift changes at the bar. Like there was a new bartender in. This is not a joke. I had to close up my tab. I was. If you cut me in half, I would have bled out wing sauce. And so we ended up the night 12:45 at Wrigleyville Dogs eating a Polish sausage. Couldn't have been happier, hugging people on the street. And I think it's the entire city felt that way. You wanted to share that Packers win, which is no matter what happens today or next week, that Packers win is an all-timer because the Packers offseason sucks right now if you're a fan. Even though you got your coach back, it's brutal. And it could have been the exact opposite for Bears fans. But you were able to end the Packers season in one of the great playoff comebacks of all time. And whatever happens today won't take it away from you. And believe me, I have the bar tab from last week at Yahtzee's in Wrigleyville. It was totally worth it.
And, you know, Paul, I'm right there with you. I stopped short of saying that's our Super Bowl because that sounds like, you know,
no.
that sounds like the talk of a poverty franchise or a poverty
right.
fan base. And I don't want to be that. And I also don't want to go ahead and say now we're playing with house money because I think this playoff
exactly.
field is wide open and the Bears could do something and have almost as good a chance of doing something as anybody else. But I did say I'm okay with our season, given the future looks bright, I'm okay with our season ending any way but losing to the Green Bay Packers. That's,
exactly. That would have been the most brutal offseason of all time.
Yes.
Even though you would have shook it off at some point and said, we got Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, and the future looks unbelievably bright. But can you imagine Packer fans, and I have friends who are Packers fans, I know guys up there, and they text me, they're awful quiet this week. They're really, really quiet. I love the quiet. And the other thing is, I agree with you. It's not house money. You got to beat the Rams and move on. And I know the Seahawks look impenetrable, but why not us? I mean, look at the Indiana Hoosiers. They didn't get satisfied when they beat Ohio State about 4 or 5 weeks ago. They said,
right.
Hey, we took down Ohio State. Great. We got things to do. And they won't be satisfied Monday night at the Indiana Hoosiers. The Bears are similar. It's apples and oranges to what the Hoosiers are doing because no one saw the Bears this far this fast. And Indiana, they haven't been there ever in 120 years. But why not just keep going? Yeah, I go back to, I know you got to go, but like Eli Manning, his first Super Bowl, his team was like 9-7. They lost 6 of their last 8. They snuck into the playoffs on the last day of the season. 5 weeks later, they beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Now Eli Manning's going to the Hall of Fame. Why not?
Yeah. But Paul, I got to take issue with one thing.
Go ahead.
You were here for the game last week. You were at Yahtzee's in Wrigleyville last week,
yeah.
And they won. Why aren't you back in Chicago and at Yahtzee's in Wrigleyville this week to watch
aren't
the
game?
Are
we up against a break? I think Mitch just called. He said we're up against a break. Here's the reason. My daughter's 17. My daughter turned 17 yesterday, and we hosted a birthday party for her. And believe me, I thought about being a bad dad before and going to Chicago. And you know what? I would love to get on a plane right now if I could get there. My plan is, though, next week, the Bears take care of their end against the Rams. I'm flying in to watch whatever game there is, Bears-Seattle, and at the pub because I want to be there for it even if they're not home. But, yeah, believe me, I wanted to be there very badly this week. If you want to, though, Rom, you and a couple guys go up to Yahtzee's and Wrigley on the first 100 on me. How about that?
Will
by
do.
Proxy, I'll be there.
Will do. That is Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show. And catch him every Saturday morning on the tailgate right here on The Score. Paul, always appreciate the time and the conversation, man. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Love listening to you at nights, man.
Appreciate you. And he joins me on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Like, you got to make it happen, man. I understand the daughter turned 17, but I've been telling people all show, whatever you did last week, do that again this week. Like, let's not tempt the fate of the football gods and change things up. We all have an impact on the game. I know we don't, but I like to think we do. And what if I'm wrong and we do? What if I'm wrong and we actually do have an impact on the game and it's your fault for not being where you were, wearing what you were wearing, eating what you were wearing when that game was played last week. But I'll let it slide. I'll let it slide for the daughter's birthday. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, got to look at what the playoff field looks like now after last night's divisional games, and not just who won, but some of the news that came out of one of those games. We'll discuss that right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf on The Score on a Sunday afternoon, taking you right up to pregame with Olin and Manley and Mully. They'll get going at 2:30. Cassie Carlson will join me at 2 o'clock from Fox 32 to set the scene from Soldier Field. All that still to come right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's hard for me to, and I've had a chance to look, it's hard for me to understand why it was ruled the way it was ruled. And if it is ruled that way, then why wasn't it slowed down? Just to make sure that we have this right. That would have made a lot of sense to me.
That was Bills head coach Sean McDermott after the game, about a controversial call in overtime of the Bills' divisional round loss to the Broncos yesterday. The receiver and the defensive back, Jaquan McMillan, they go up for the ball. It looked like the receiver was coming down with it, but referees said he never completed the catch. By the way, Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score on a Sunday afternoon. Cassie Carlson of Fox 32 will be here to set the scene from Soldier Field coming up at 2 o'clock. But the referees, they concluded that the receiver never completed the catch, the ball never hit the ground, and McMillan was the one who came out with that ball, and subsequently the Broncos go down, kick the field goal, and win that game 33-30. And a couple things out of this game. A lot of people feeling bad for Josh Allen today and wondering, like, what does this guy have to do to get deeper in the playoffs or to get that Super Bowl? Man, did people watch that game? Did people watch that football game yesterday? Because Josh Allen had 4 turnovers. And yes, I'm the guy who said that Josh Allen was Mitch Trubisky 2.0. I was wrong. Okay, I will just flat out say I was wrong when I said that to Danny Parkins. What is it now? 5 years ago that people still will not let me live down. He's very good, but he had 4 turnovers in that football game yesterday, including one at the end of the half where he got completely reckless with the football and took off running with basically no time left on the clock. They didn't have a chance to even get into field goal range really at that point. And he takes off running and doesn't protect the football and fumbles the ball and gives it right back to the Broncos in field goal range. And this team lost that game by a field goal. Stop feeling bad for Josh Allen like he was the only one doing anything out there yesterday. He cost his team that football game yesterday with 4 turnovers. Who you should start feeling bad for is Bo Nix, who didn't leave the game, but ended that game with a broken ankle that he suffered, scrambling to his left on the second-to-last offensive play for that Broncos team yesterday. And it'll be Jarrett Stidham at quarterback for the remainder of that playoff run. And so I got to assume that whoever wins today between the Patriots and the Texans will be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. I can't imagine Jarrett Stidham comes out next week and beats either of those teams in the AFC Championship. And that's a guy that I'll feel bad for today, because that's a guy who played football good enough to win and to advance his team to the AFC Championship, and then suffers a broken ankle in his first trip there and will not be able to try and lead his team to a Super Bowl. That sucks, dude. And I hate to see that. I think we all hate to see that. But stop with the crying for Josh Allen, dude. He lost that game for his football team yesterday. And look, he also did some things. He had 3 touchdowns. He threw for 283 yards. Like, he did some things to help, but he did more to hurt than to help yesterday. And we don't need to spend a whole lot of time on the NFC divisional game yesterday. It was all Seahawks start to finish in that football game yesterday. They I don't know about you, Studs. I was watching the end of the other game of the NFC game yesterday. I didn't even switch over in time to see the Seahawks take a 7-0 lead. That's how quickly it happened. It was on the opening kick of the game, and they just never looked back. They just dog walked the 49ers in that football game yesterday.
You know, I actually was at my friend's place in the suburbs yesterday, and we had a Lord of the Rings marathon. And so,
ooh, nice.
So what we did on my friend's computer in the room, put on the end of the Buffalo game, the Buffalo Broncos game. And then I was like, well, you know, we could probably switch over to the other game. And then I'm just like looking on my phone and I see, oh, they ran back the kick. Oh, they scored again. Oh, they scored again. I'm like, yeah, I'm not even going to bother. Like, we'll just watch Return of the King.
And I did feel a little bad for the 49ers because I felt like that was a team that just the injuries caught up with them and they just ran out of steam. And it was bound to happen. So even Christian McCaffrey had to sit out a good portion of that game. Tonjes, who the tight end who came in for George Kittle, who tore his Achilles the previous week, he left the game with an injury like that. That was just the wheels fell off for the 49ers in that football game, which to me was bound to happen eventually. Like, admirable what they were even able to pull off and to go as deep as they did with all the injuries that they had over the course of the season. So, tip of the cap to the 49ers.
Sorry, are you in on the conspiracy theory about this power substation next to the San Francisco training facility?
People keep talking about that, Studs. And I said earlier in the show, like, I'm trying hard to stay off the internet, which I know it's 2026, and that's where we all live. I'm trying to stay off, and that's one of those things that's making the rounds that we're just so inundated with conspiracy theories and everyone doing their own research in this day and age, and not trusting science or medicine and everything else, that like I just can't, dude. Like, even if there even if there is something to it, like I just can't go down that rabbit hole.
I think that this is one of those ones that is just silly enough that I can buy into it and just like, okay, because it's of course it's ridiculous. So, and it's harmless otherwise. It sucks these guys keep getting hurt, but of course this is not the reason why. So I this is one of those ones that I'm like, okay, I'll get on the ground floor of this one, and if it turns out being right, then hey, hello, I was there the whole time.
By the way, we do have some breaking Bears news. It does appear, according to Brad Biggs, he seems pretty confident that it will be Joe Tooney moving to left tackle and Jordan McFadden will be starting at left guard tonight for the Bears versus the Rams in the divisional round of the playoffs. Again, I've been saying throughout the show, not what I would have done, but I'm not in practice every day. I don't see what these guys see. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure Tooney got a bunch of reps and snaps at left tackle in practice this week, and McFadden got a bunch of snaps and reps at left guard this week, and they liked what they saw, and I'm sure they tried other configurations as well. I just, in the divisional round of the playoffs, doing something that you haven't done all season and seeing something that I haven't seen all season just as a fan and, you know, an outside observer watching the game, that's a little scary to me. That's a little scary to me, but they know what they know, and they've seen what they've seen behind closed doors or behind closed practices, and this is what Ben Johnson and his staff have apparently determined is the best way to go. So it does look like it'll be Joe Tooney at left guard and Jordan McFadden will be, or excuse me, Joe Tooney at left tackle and Jordan McFadden at left guard. I understand it. Even though it's not what I would have done, I said earlier in the show, I understand it. This is a very, very good pass rush that the Rams bring to town tonight. And so you do want to protect Caleb's backside, literally his backside and his blind side there at left tackle. So we will see how it works out, and we'll talk about it more with Cassie Carlson of Fox 32 coming up. But are you a local business owner or employee Today is the last day. You hear me? Today is the last day to enter our Score Big for Your Business contest. You can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on the Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One. And new this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Again, the deadline to enter is today. Score Big for Your Business is sponsored by People's Bank, where better banking keeps moving forward. Member FDIC. Hit a quick break. On the other side, Cassie Carlson live from Soldier Field, setting the scene for Bears-Rams divisional round matchup coming up later this evening. I am Rami Makhlouf right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.